Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We believe God wants to speak into your life through this message. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationedmonton.com and find us on Instagram and Facebook at CelebrationEDM. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoy this message.
Welcome. We're glad you're here this morning. The title of my sermon this morning is called The Results of the Resurrection. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. The results of the resurrection. Now, if I covered all of the results of the resurrection, you would not be having Easter dinner tonight. The service would just go on and on and on. But I just want to give you a few of them this morning, just to remind us of what God has done for us. You know, if somebody asked me why I was a Christian and I only had one word to answer them, I believe that word would be resurrection. If Jesus hadn't risen from the dead, he'd be no better than some cult leader, right? Just, you know, some good ideas. But Jesus rose from the dead, and he proved that he was the Son of God through his resurrection. And that resurrection has been well documented throughout history. Do you know that after Jesus rose from the grave, he went and preached a sermon to over 500 people? 500 people saw him that day. You know, Paul recorded that he had done that, most of those 500 people were still alive. In other words, he was writing this saying, okay, then what did he do? Okay, and then what did he do? He had these witnesses as he wrote the Bible to record that Jesus came and preached a sermon to over 500 people. 15 different times Jesus appears after he's risen back to life over a 40-day period. 15 different appearances are recorded. You know, people touched him. Thomas touched his hands. He said, I'm not going to believe until I put my finger through those holes. I want to touch those hands and see what if that's really him. The women who found him after he rose from the grave, they grabbed his ankles. He even made Peter and John breakfast. How cool is that? The risen Savior. You're back at work fishing. Jesus shows up on the beach. And he's like, those guys look hungry out there. I'm going to make them breakfast while I wait for them to realize that I'm out here on the beach. And then there's the empty tomb, clothes in perfect condition. All of this recorded in this book that many people have died defending this story. To this day, on average, 13 Christians die a day because of their faith. We're celebrating history today, not fantasy. We're going to read Matthew chapter 28. 1 to 10, Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to read from the NIV this morning. Matthew chapter 28, 1 to 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of them that they shook and they became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples he's risen from the dead and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, collapsed his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." So this morning, we're going to go through five different things that he has risen means to us today. What does he has risen mean for us today? Five results of the resurrection. If you're taking notes, write this down. It means that Jesus keeps his word. The line says he's risen just as he said he would. Throughout, Jesus keeps his word. I want to tell you that today. He did in the Bible. He does it today. And throughout the Bible, Jesus, throughout the Gospels, Jesus predicts his death three different times and his resurrection This is recorded by three different disciples, three different times throughout each of their gospels. So how do we know that we can trust Jesus with our life? Because Jesus kept his word with his life. Maybe you're here today and a lot of people have let you down in life. That people haven't kept their word to you. Maybe you've experienced a parent not being there for you. Maybe somebody made a marriage commitment to you and then they changed their mind because their feelings changed. Maybe you've been disappointed because people have let you down. You're going through a really hard time right now. Maybe you had a business deal that didn't go right and you're having a hard time trusting people. I want to tell you today, Jesus keeps his word. He did it in the Bible. He does it today. Here's some other things Jesus said, though. He didn't just say he was going to rise from the grave. He said all sorts of things throughout the Bible. Some of them are, I will give you rest. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Whoever follows him would never walk in darkness. He said, I've come so you may have life and have it to the full. He said, he's with you to the end of the age. He said, he'll give you peace. And it says in the Bible, all his promises are yes and amen. Come on, clap your hands if you're thankful for Jesus on this Easter Sunday morning. We love you, God. So Jesus keeps his word and Jesus forgives us. He keeps his word and he forgives us. Ephesians chapter 2:8 says, for you're saved by grace through faith. This is not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. Often people feel like they have to purify themselves to come to Jesus. I used to work with a guy. I used to work in a mechanic shop. And sometimes they'd bug me about being a pastor's kid when I worked there. And about going to church. And they're like, oh, there's that Christian boy. Don't swear around him. And one of the mechanics, I remember he said to me, he said, I can never go to church. I like beer too much. Little did he know, Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine. But people think they have to drink, they have to talk, act, dress a certain way. The only thing you have to do to prepare yourself to accept the free gift of the gospel is to open your hands to Jesus, to be receptive to it. If you want the free gift of Jesus today, I'm telling you, it's a free gift. He died. You just need to be open to accepting that gift. You don't have to cleanse yourself to come to God. God accepts you and then cleanses you. You don't have to cleanse yourself. You come, he'll cleanse you. He does it by the blood of Jesus. That's the new covenant, the promise between us and God that we celebrate on Easter weekend. Because of Jesus' blood, your sins are washed away. You're made white as snow. You've been justified just as if it never happened. Matthew chapter 26:28. Says, Jesus said, we read it earlier, this is my blood, the covenant which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. You don't need to cleanse yourself. The cross cleansed you. Maybe you're here today and you're not struggling with the forgiveness of Jesus. What you're struggling with is the forgiveness of somebody else. Or maybe someone else needs to forgive you. Easter is such a great time to reflect on forgiveness because we sort of say it in passing, but Easter is a time where we're like, hey, let's be reminded that he heals us, he cleanses us, he forgives us so that we can forgive others. Ephesians 4:31-32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgives you. And just as we are to have an open hand to receive the gift of forgiveness from Jesus, sometimes we need to open our hands and let something go that we've been holding on to. And often we don't do that because we feel like, if I don't let this go, who's gonna get back at them? But you know, that's exactly what forgiveness is. It's giving up your right to get even. And that's what God did with you. He gave up his right to get even. He made a new covenant saying, no, Jesus is gonna pay for it. It's all gonna go on the cross. And sometimes we don't live in the promises of God, the freedom that God's given us, because we're hanging on to what other people have done to us. There's a John Hopkins study on unforgiveness. And what they found is that unforgiveness can actually make people physically sick. It gave people symptoms of PTSD. It shortened their lives. It caused insomnia. It caused all sorts of issues in people's lives. And I just think today we have to pause as we consider Jesus and pause and consider what's been going on in our life. The resurrection brings freedom to your life. Don't make yourself a slave to unforgiveness. Give yourself the gift of forgiveness this Easter. That's what Jesus died for. He died to give you the gift of forgiveness. Now you got to give it to yourself by forgiving somebody else. And Jesus, he gives new life. Jesus gives new life. In 1 Peter 1:3-4 says, "Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." Living hope based on a living, resurrected Jesus. The tomb is empty. He is not here. He is risen. So what does living mean in this context? Here, living means that our hope is sure, secure, certain, and real, as opposed to the deceptive, empty, and false hope that the world offers. You know, people put their hope in all sorts of things. They put their hope in money. They'll put their hope in another person, in the love of their life. They'll put their hope in a career or success. They'll put their hope in popularity. I want to tell you, Jesus is the true source of hope for your life. He's the living hope. And we can have hope because God's mercy is new every day, because God shows unmerited favor towards us. We call it being born again, the new life that we find in Christ. The old you dies and your life is now guarded by God's power. You're promised a future of no evil. Your future hope cannot be destroyed. Everything in this earth can. Your money can be destroyed. Your career can be destroyed. Your home can be destroyed. Everything we have in this life can be destroyed by the evil of this world, except for the new life that we found in Jesus. Thank you, God, for the resurrection. Yeah, you can clap your hands to that. Come on, praise God. But you know what else? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this: "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." Jesus can breathe new life into any part of your world. If you feel like you have some form of dead situation, dead relationship, whatever it might be, Jesus can breathe new life into any of those things. Maybe it's your mental health. And today, he can set you free from anxiety, depression, whatever you've been going through. God can set you free from those things. Hey, maybe it's your marriage. Maybe you've been going through a tough time in your marriage. I want you to know today that Jesus can breathe new life into your marriage. It can be just like you fell in love again. He can breathe new life into your marriage. Maybe it's a job that you just cannot stand working. You hate working for your boss. Well, you can change your perspective today and realize you work for God. He can breathe new life into your work without your job changing. Maybe it's a friendship. You've been expecting too much from people and you got to set them free, live more graciously, and realize you got to rely on God for more things. You're going to have better friendships in Jesus. Maybe it's dreams that you've given up on. You just thought, this dream is dead. That's never going to happen. I want you to know today that he's a resurrecting God. He can resurrect the dreams that are in your heart deep down inside. Maybe it's your health today. Maybe you're struggling with your health and you're hearing us say, "By his stripes you're healed." And you're saying, I hear it, but I don't know if I believe it. Can I just tell you, you can start to believe before your situation changes, that by his stripes you've been healed. He can breathe new life into your body today and you can be healed in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's clap our hands today. If we love the Lord, if we're thankful for his new life that he's given us. But it's not just new life that he gives you, it's also eternal life that he gives you. And sometimes Christians, we're so passive about eternal life. Like, we just sort of say it, like, "Yeah, he's gonna give us eternal life." There is millions and millions of people in the world that think that when there is no longer breath in their lungs, that life is over. What a hopeless way to live. Jesus has come to give us eternal life. Man, we can be excited about that on Easter Sunday. John chapter 11, 25 to 26 says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? If there was no heaven, there'd be no resurrection. Because we've witnessed this resurrection here on earth, we know for certain there is something after this life, and it's something beautiful. And we can spend eternity in God's presence because Jesus died and rose again for us. And now death, while still devastating to us on this earth, becomes a new beginning for us. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where death is your victory, where death is your sting. This is the results of the resurrection for you. My last point this morning, if you're taking notes, Jesus fills us with joy. Jesus fills us with joy. You don't got to suffer through life. Jesus fills us with joy. John chapter 15, 11, Jesus is giving a list of all this stuff to the disciples. You know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And he says, I've told you these things so that my joy might be in you. And your joy may be complete. If you're here today, and just like these women, you're looking for Jesus. When these women saw that Jesus had risen, they were full of joy. And you can experience that same thing today. God wants to fill you with joy. He loves you. Jesus sent his Spirit in his place. And one of the fruits of his Spirit is joy. He wants you to be full of joy. Even if you're in pain today, you can be full of joy, knowing that by his stripes, you've been healed emotionally and physically. And even if your circumstances haven't changed, your mindset can change. Don't let this Easter pass by without realizing what we have in Jesus. You know, many of us find ourselves in church every so often, maybe just Christmas and Easter, whenever. And what happens is a lot of times in our lives, we live in proximity to Jesus, but not relationship with him. You know, I grew up in a Christian family. Great, I was a pastor's kid, great home. I love my parents. We had a great upbringing. And I went to church on Sundays, and I loved our time in church on Sundays. I had a real relationship with God when I was a little kid. It was beautiful. And as I got to my teenage years, I just started to kind of do my own thing. From some insecurities in my heart, some lies that I believed, kind of wandered off on my own, did my own thing. And I spent a season of my life away from church, family, my friends, and just wasn't living for God. The relationship had just sort of severed. I'd sort of still been in proximity, but not in relationship. You know, I sort of knew, I believed it. I had Bibles in my house, you know, and I believed all that. I was in proximity. The people I had spent my life with were still Christians. They called themselves Christians. So I was in proximity, but there was no relationship. And as time went on, I found myself in a dark, broken state. I just felt that I felt numb towards a lot of things. And finally, after a season of this, one night I just decided to open my Bible and to start to read through Proverbs. And the words started coming alive to me. You know, the next night I read again. I remember sitting on my futon. I had a futon back then. I sat on my futon and read Proverbs in my room. And Jesus started to become real to me again. Started to read some of the promises. Started to read about being a fool. And I knew just what that was like. And so one morning I found myself in church, just like we are today. And finally, after a while away, I'm in a church service. And they sang this song. And the words of the song said, "Your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed, but alive in your hands. Forever, I'm changed by your love in the presence of your majesty." And at that moment, God's love became more real than ever before. And I knew I was loved and accepted just as I was, that I didn't have to change for God to love me or accept me, that Jesus died for me as I was. And God's love became more real to me than ever before. And I've never been the same since that day. Maybe that's you today. You've been living in proximity to Jesus, but not relationship with him. It hasn't become real. There's not a connection that you wish you had. Maybe you just are here today and you feel like there's an emptiness in your heart. The only cure for the emptiness that is in your heart is the empty tomb, thanks to Jesus. Could we all stand today? God, thank you that your presence is here. The presence of the Holy Spirit is with us in this room. Thank you for Jesus, for the new life that we find in Jesus. Thank you, God, that you love every person here today. I pray you'd meet them where they're at. God, I pray if we need to forgive someone, or if we need someone to ask, if we need to ask someone to forgive us, Holy Spirit, would you reveal to us the steps forward in those relationships? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're in this room and you'd like to make a decision for Jesus, I want to lead you in a prayer. It says in the Bible, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. So we're going to pray that prayer together. Everybody who is a member of Celebration Church is going to repeat it as well, in agreement with you, so you feel comfortable here today. But if you're praying that prayer with me, I'm going to count to three. I'd like you to just raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with this morning. God sees your heart. He loves you. He calls you his own. If you'd like to pray this prayer to receive Jesus today, on the count of three, one, two, three, just slip up your hand so I know who I'm praying with. Awesome, 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 beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And you can put your hands down. Now boldly repeat this prayer after me. Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth, dying on the cross, to pay for my sin. I believe that you are Lord and God raised you from the dead. Holy Spirit, I welcome you to dwell within me and be with me always. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for what God's done here today.
Thanks for listening with us today. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you'd like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.